The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. So, I entered North America through Vancouver on the 19th of July. And the Border Patrol said, "Oh, yeah, you Buddhist monk?" "Yes, I'm a Buddhist monk. I have my robes on. Where are you going?" "I'm going to a temple up in rural BC, but Dragon Flower Mountain, but I'm not too sure whether it's going to be there when I get there." Because it was under severe threat of being burnt down, and I think that the monks and residents and animals had already been evacuated from the grounds or were about to be evacuated. And as an afterthought, I said, "Of course." Border Patrol said, "Yes, there's lots of fires in BC. And it's, you know, it's major deal." And as a parting shot, I said, "Oh, unfortunately, we don't have any influence over the fires." And the story of fires, thankfully, the winds blew just at the right time and blew the fire away from the temple, and it was not destroyed, but it was as close as 50 to 100 yards that the fire came. And then, of course, we've had the July complex fire that's threatened the Compassionate Friend Hermitage, or certainly the monks have been very much impacted by that fire and being a staging post for the fighting of it. And then, last Monday, here in the locale, we had the weed fire, which was very close to home. Many of you will have been around for that devastating, shocking thing that came so close to us. The wind was blowing in the other direction to us. So as a background thought to this talk is offering merit to all those who have been caught up in the fires in one way or another, fighting them, being involved in them, being the backup to them, being the people who have to protect homes and cut down living trees and bushes. And I know that's happened a lot here, and do appreciate the real grief and sorrow that one is cutting down one's friends, because that's what one becomes very intimately connected with, the vegetation and all the rest of it around us. So let's make that our offering of listening and speaking this morning to transfer merit all to who all's impacted. And somebody pointed out to me, who lives in a fire danger area, that really everybody lives with something going on in the background, whether it's in the fires, but it might be hurricanes, it might be floods, it might be anything, and that doesn't include, you know, what we live with closer to home and within our own hearts and minds too. We all have something resonating in ourselves. I got here to Mount Shasta, to Shasta Abbey, beginning of September, and I'd heard that There was smoke in the air, or possibly smoke in the air from the fires, and I was a little concerned, as my lungs aren't all they might be. So good stress with the smoke. When we arrived, everything was clear. I couldn't sniff a bit of smoke anywhere, which was reassuring. And then next day, I was resting up from the trip and sitting on the porch of the Hote house, which you may or may not know is in that direction. It's the North American headquarters of the OBC, in actual fact, and it was the residence of our late head of the order, Rev. Master Dyswee McPhillamy. And in the early 80s, he planted a northwest garden, which required a lot of water to keep it going. And it was, for me, a real refuge and a haven through those hot summers when I would pause a while on the cloister and breathe in the misty, cool air from the watering system. He was particularly fond of his azaleas, which he would say are fire engine red. They're still going strong. As I sat there, I realized that there was smoke in the air, and I was gradually finding myself impacted physically by the conditions that were coming to me. You know, all the usual of itchy eyes, runny nose, feeling kind of buzzy. Can't enumerate them quite now, but they were there. And I noted them. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. The ground's all dry around these bushes. So I made inquiries within the building and said, everything all right with the watering system? And I got the answer, which was that there'd been somewhat of a triage going on in the monastery in terms of watering, and some gardens were watered and others were not, meaning that the plants would die in those gardens. And again, I picked up that this was a hard thing to purposefully not water things, but we are in a water shortage time and we need to watch it. Okay, are they watered at all? Oh yes, they are watered Tuesdays and Saturdays. And, you know, being somewhat fond of Rev. Master Dyswee, thus I was fond of the bushes and their welfare, and so I found myself getting a bit anxious on their behalf. and so I realised the watering system wasn't coming on, so I hot-footed it over to somebody I thought would know the answer, and she did. Oh yes, Reverend Bugo, the water will come on. And I could see already that the watering system here at Shasta and water and fire had all been a very great stress and grief for everybody here, and I had just injected my anxious self into a can of worms. People were very patient with me. Said, yes, it comes on Tuesdays and Wednesdays at such and Tuesdays and Saturdays at these times. And I looked and it wasn't coming on. So I persisted and went back and said, it's not come on. I'll check it for you, Reverend Mugo. And sure enough, she did, and found that inadvertently the watering system had been cut off. So she switched it on, the sprayers started, and the azaleas on the left side of the path came on, showing just how concerned I was and growing to be a bit of a pest, I have to tell you. I went back and said, well, it came on the left-hand side, but not on the right-hand side. And she said, well, actually, that's how it is. It comes on the right-hand side, then the left-hand side. And with that, I was happy. I was happy. But I was the dawning realization that my anxiety was well out of proportion with the circumstances, well out of proportion. Has anybody been that way? Yeah. Not once during that whole time did I give a little self-teaching and say, what you need to do is sit still within the midst of conditions. No, didn't think that. I was trying to respond to the conditions with a little bit of added value there. I'm grateful for the patience and kindness I was shown, but I was beginning to realize that, well, in my own way, the way I treat myself with a bit of humor, I thought, God, McGo, you really need to be locked up here. and voiced that to one of the monks in pasting. I said, there's something wrong. I feel like I need to be locked up. And she looked at me and she said, Reverend McGo, there is something wrong. There's a fire. There's fires going on around here. She said, it's your ancient brain is registering danger. Isn't that great? Bless her. And with that, I thought, oh, right, that explains a few things from my over-the-top response. I was smelling smoke. The ancient part of me was going, danger, danger, fire, fire. And you either run or run away or stand and fight, and there was nothing to stand and fight and really nothing to run away from, and I hadn't got into the immobile state quite then, which is to freeze. It showed me just how intimately, closely we are, and I won't use the word resonate or attached to, and I use attached in the positive sense, attached to that which is around us and that which we touch and that which we hold, that which we see. There is, we're not isolated individual beings, we're intimately connected with the trees and the bushes and the people and you name it, we're resonating with that. Next morning, when I came out of meditation, or rather when I was sitting in meditation, I thought, oh God, I feel a bit peculiar. And my whole body was sort of buzzing. And I, on reflection, realized that actually there's a huge fire going on quite close at Happy Camp, not so far distant, and there's a whole drama playing out, and it wouldn't be surprising that we all are affected even at a distance with that in an intuitive and deep way. We have a sympathy going on. And this was my response. You know, I'm a Briton who smells smoke and thinks, ah, oh, great, bonfires. it'll keep me warm. That's really nice. And others will respond differently. And it's the same for all of our ways in which we encounter circumstances. Some will climb up the wall when the cat pees in the house, and others may go, oh, poor little darling, I'll clear it up. So it was only a mistake. So, you know, we are very different in our way that we respond to circumstances, and that really explains that we are unique beings with our own little bundle of history. I write a weblog, Modern Monk, and I wrote some notes about my experience. And somebody who read the post wrote to me. She didn't leave a comment, she just wrote to me personally, and I'm going to read her response. Regarding what you say about the smoke, it made me think about how I often allow outside influences to affect, alter my mood or state of mind. They can unsettle me. I usually notice this is happening and think it is not a good thing to be affected. Thus, I judge myself for allowing it to happen. But, or however, reading about your experience, I thought that actually we are all part of the same universe after all, so we are bound to respond and connect with what's going on around us. And you know, I think this is a good thing and shows that we're connected, in tune with what's going on around us. So, without judgment, we can accept what is going on within our body and mind without judgment. Well, as you know, and you've probably been told, and sometimes I've found this to be coming at me as a sort of accusation rather than something helpful. Let go of it. You know, if one of those monks had said, oh, let go of it, and they go, you know, it's taken care of, that really wouldn't have helped me at all. As we hear in teaching, sit still within the circumstances. Sit still within the conditions, still in the midst of conditions. And this does not mean that you feel still. That's an important thing to remember. You don't sit still until you feel still. Sitting still is, say, meditate or keep the precepts. Those words are interchangeable. That one sets up a vow or a wish or an intention to do that. It's like our background operating function. That one can trust that one's intention is to sit still, and that when the need arises, and when it even doesn't arise, that intention is being made good all the time, unbeknownst to us. And one really needs to trust that. Otherwise, well, you'll always think, well, I don't feel still, so I can't be still, so I'm not doing it properly, so I'm a bad person. And so sitting still is not a standard to live up to. For those who are listening to this on tape, we're sitting in a big hall at Shasta Abbey, which is absolutely plastered with, hung with, images of Kuan Yin or Kanzeon, and it is really quite impressive. Reminding us that Kanzeon is there wherever you look. I started off by talking about merit, spiritual merit, and the offering of merit. And I have to confess that I don't do much in the way of purposefully offering merit. No sitting down and enumerating, although I do keep a private merit list on my altar and look at the names. I trust that the promise and the vow, traditionally through the Kesa verse that we say in the mornings, making, how does it go? How great and wondrous are the clothes of enlightenment, formless and embracing every treasure. I wish to unfold the Buddha's teaching that I may help all living beings. And I trust that that intention will come and flow towards all that I encounter through the day. And sometimes somebody or something or some circumstance will come up very strongly, and that will enter my mind as part of what I'm encountering, and the merit will flow from that. And that's my way of offering merit. And purposefully having a list and reading it, and all that we do in terms of ceremonial and the like, it doesn't count against that simple living the best life that you can and being the best person you can be each day. Reverend Master Koten, who is the chief priest up at Dragonflower Mountain, told me once, reminded me that merit only works, actually. How does merit work? Merit only works because we are all connected. It flows quite naturally. We just maybe give it a little push now and then. Zen Master Dogen, who many of you will be familiar with, a very important figure in our ancestry, spiritual ancestry, a compilation of his work is called the Shoshogi, the subtitle being What is Truly Meant by Training and Enlightenment. And sometimes we sing that here. I really love it. One of the chapters is titled, and I haven't got the title, but it's to do with the precepts, and it's towards the end. And there's a verse, a part of it, that I would like to read to you. A little word about Dogen and his writing. There's a tendency to think that he's messing with your mind, because it's not that easy to grasp what is being said, because he will say on the one hand this, on the one hand that, however not either of those things, and this but not this either. And in fact you might say he is messing with your mind, because he's trying to help you to us to leap past our normal ordinary intellectual way of grasping at an understanding. So thank you, Dogen. When I understood that, I could be more happy about reading his works and not feeling like, oh, I can't understand this. Anyway, here is this brief part. And as I say, sitting still, meditation, doing one's practice, keeping to the precepts, can all point to the same thing, to simply doing the best you can within a wonderful framework that we have. And it points us very, very deeply past our own anxious and tired minds and bodies. From these precepts come forth such a wind and fire that all are driven into enlightenment when the flames are fanned by the Buddha's influence. This is the merit of non-action and non-seeking, the awakening to true wisdom. The Buddha's influence. Which is our animating the Buddha's teaching in our lives. We We are carried along by the Buddha's influence. And you have to, we cannot trust in anything deeper or more profound that our wish to know the deepest thing will come to us. So I'd like you to leave here and allow the Buddha's influence to lift and carry you through this day, the merit of your training to lift and carry you through this day and all days, and that the Buddha's influence is stronger than your own individual mind, and you can trust it. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha.